Dear Father, we thank you for today, Lord. Thank you that you've put a word on my heart. I pray, Lord, that the seed of this message would fall on good soil. I pray that you would nurture that seed, through this week, through the months, the years, whatever it takes for us to process and kind of chew on this word. I pray that you would really nurture that. We trust you. We thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Cool. All right. So I'm going to start with just right into it with one of the verses I'll be sharing about today. So if we can have the slide up. So I'm just going to read it. Matthew 18:2-4. He called a little child to him. He in the scripture is Jesus. And he placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So growing up, I don't know if you guys heard this passage, heard topics around this passage, but I've been told a lot in like growing up in the faith, like have childlike faith. Is there anyone that like relates? Someone told you guys that, a pastor or somebody? But I always was like, what does that mean? Like, what does that mean to have childlike faith? And especially as I get older, this word childlike faith is like really hard for me to understand. I think maybe it's because, growing up, oh wow, it's really quiet in here. I didn't notice that. Growing up, as we get older, we have a lot of responsibilities. Like, how many of us pay bills? I think everyone probably has to raise their hands, especially SF, because it's freaking expensive. But, right, like, we all have responsibilities. Even when we're in our jobs, we have, the feeling of making decisions that are best for us. We have to set ourselves up for success. There's a lot of things that we think about and we rationalize in our life, in our day-to-day. And so to think about what it means to be childlike is actually very foreign. It's very foreign to me, at least. What does it mean? What does it mean to be childlike? Is it to channel my inner child? Is it to embrace like troubles in my life in an attitude of like a child, like just happy-go-lucky, like, oh, I'm good, I'm fine. Oh, let's just like brush it off. I would say the only time I really practice childlike faith or childlikeness is like if I go to Salt and Straw and I want to try like a new flavor. You know what I mean? Like that's the amount of comfort I have to be like, oh, maybe I'll be a little, adventurous, childlike, right? But scripture says, unless you become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Is it just me or is that a lot of pressure? Like, the amount of pressure to be childlike, man, it makes sense, right? In the scripture, it's like, it's literally saying eternity is on the line. So what do we do? What do we do with that? If we can go to the next slide. When I'm told to be like a child, I'll look to examples and behaviors to figure out what I need to do. How many of us relate with this? I mean, just in a day-to-day, like, maybe it's not a this statement, maybe it's just like facts, like, oh, hey, I want to be a good guitar player. What am I going to do? I'm going to go look at references of guitar. Like, yeah, how many of us relate? Like, if someone told me to do my best impression of a child or like a baby, and the reward would be, hey, I'll give you $1 billion. I'll give you $1 billion if you can do the best impression. I'll like think really hard. And I'll just be like, dada? I don't know. Like, I'll think about, like, friends' kids in my memories or something. And I'll, like, muster up and I'll, like, try to do it, right? I'll probably not win $1 million. I think that's pretty straightforward about that. But what if somebody told me, hey, John, be like a child to Paul. Paul, that's my dad's name. And say, hey, you do the best impression of being a child to your dad. I don't know what the first thing I would do. Like, I would just be me, right? Like, I'm not, my relationship with my dad isn't like I act a certain way and that's why he's my dad. Like, I don't know what the first thing I would do. I know I'm his son and he knows he's my dad. There's no specific action or thing I do that makes me less of his son. So if we can go to the next slide. Oh, sorry. Not a slide. This is what I have to say. What if what we need to hear today is not live out childlike faith, but faithfully be children, his children? I want to say that again. What if what we need to hear today is not to live out childlike faith, but faithfully be children, his children? How do we do that? Well, I think first, in order for us to get away from thinking about childlikeness and towards becoming, let's look at how different being like something is versus being something. So this is just my, I'm just using all the brain power I can to determine and define what this is. But being like something really only requires two things: reference or an example to something, and replication. So what does that mean? Let's say I want to be the best basketball player. Not the best, sorry. The greatest basketball player. Who would I reference? Throw some names out. Who would I reference? Okay, we got LeBron. Okay. Kobe, yes. Yes, okay, I wrote that down. I was like, right, I would reference like Michael Jordan, right? I would reference Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, these great, great basketball players who have like just, I don't know, their athleticism is like unparalleled. Like, of course, I'm also like 5'7 and they're like 6-something, so, right? But then I would study what they did. I would reference examples about what made them a great basketball player. And then I would try to replicate it. I would like learn how they dribble. I'll learn how they, you know, shoot. I'll learn everything about what they do that made them successful. In turn, how might we do that in our faith? To be childlike, we would reference examples of childlikeness from, you know, stories in the scripture, and then try to replicate that. And as a result, we would live out childlike faith. Would you guys agree with me that that makes sense? Great. Well, let's talk about what it means to be something. Let's talk about it. Unlike to be like something, being is a done deal. The story that I shared with, if someone told me to be a best, do my best impression of being my dad's kid, I wouldn't do anything, right? It's done deal. It happened. They made me. I am who I am, right? So I want to share this reference here. If we can look up. So I don't know if everybody watched this film, but it's called Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. It's like my favorite movie. I'm happy to say I found my number one movie in my life so far. Thank you. But this, in this photo, this reference is where Evelyn, hopefully I'm not spoiling anything. If not, it's been a pretty long time, but Evelyn, who's the main character, she's turned into a rock, and she's, like, basically it's like the low point of the movie. She's like, gone through everything, I'm a rock, right? And she's talking to Joy, who's her daughter in the movie, and the rock on the left is Joy. And Evelyn's asking all these questions like, who am I? Where is this? Blah, blah, blah. And then Joy's like, you're a rock. Just be a rock. There was no requirement needed. Evelyn just had to accept that she's a rock. Right? So to be like something, I must do certain things to be qualified. But being is knowing that I don't have to do a single thing to be qualified. So why is this so important? Why is this important for us to differentiate and distinguish what it is like to be something versus being something? Well, I want us to take a look at a piece of scripture There's no real reason why I picked this. I just think it's a really cool... of course, it has to do with the sermon, helping me make a point. But I like this story, right? But I want to show how differently we could read the scripture if we had a childlike perspective versus a being a child perspective. So let's go to the passage, which is Matthew 8, 23, 27. You guys are probably really familiar with this story if you grew up in the church. It's Jesus calms the storm. Pretty the best TLDR ever. I think Bible, actually, I just realized the Bible is like created really well because they all have like little TLDRs like on every paragraph. So you can really get the story pretty quickly. But verse 23, it says, then he, in this story, wait, hold on. Yes, Jesus. He got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. So we all heard this story, right? But if we look at this passage from a childlike perspective or being like a child, I think I would look and try to reference Jesus' behavior here, right? I would look at the level of faith that he had and try to see, am I living up to that faith? Am I living up to that level? I would reference Jesus as being bold and grandiose faith, right? And I would be like, oh, maybe I need to replicate that. I'll be thinking, gosh, I need to have more faith like Jesus. I need to do more, be more. It's about me and what I have to become. But when I look at this passage from being God's child or being a child, it's less so about me because, one, there's no requirement, right? I'm not looking at the scripture and trying to identify or reference something that I need to do. But on the contrary, I relate with Jesus and how his faith to calm the storm came because he knew how much greater God the Father was compared to the storm. When we become children, God becomes the focus, not us. So what I'm trying to point out here is that an overwhelming pressure to be childlike could likely be coming from our own selves and what we think we aren't living up to. Has everyone here heard the term imposter syndrome? Yeah. I think a lot of us relate. Like when I got my first internship, I had so much imposter syndrome. It was pretty crazy. Like, I think they don't tell you, like, especially, or if you start a new job or something, you know, there's like an onboarding process where like you're kind of like getting used to the team. You're like getting to know people. They should call that like the imposter syndrome phase. Because like on top of just all the information you have to absorb, you're like, oh my gosh, these people are so smart. They're so good at what they do. Like there's all this information. Like how am I supposed to live up to this? Like did they make the right choice hiring me? Right? Like we go through all these thoughts, right? You know, how many of us relate that, like, maybe in our faith journey, we also kind of feel like that? Maybe we have this pressure that we feel of being an imposter, that our faith, we're not living up to it. Like, you see the crazy stories of calming a storm or, I don't know, other crazy miracle stories. It's like, in the Bible, do I live up to that? Is my faith there? And we begin to, like, just see the faults and the things that we aren't doing. But I don't believe that God wants us to think this way. Can you go to the next verse? Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For it was by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that one can boast. So in this, I think this verse is pretty straightforward. our salvation and our faith was never something we earned. We were given. So John, what are you saying? Are you saying don't do anything? Like, just come to church. You're fine. Everything's all good. You don't need to do anything. Sorry, I was about to curse. yes and no. I think first, we need to really accept our identity as his children. If we want to let go and address any feeling we have of imposter syndrome in our faith, we have to know who we are. Can you go to the next slide? John 5:19. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Real childlikeness is understanding who God truly is and faithfully living out from that place. Jesus' faith in calming the storm, it wasn't radical because he practiced miracles. He wasn't ready for it because, oh, before that he turned water into wine and did all these things. It was because his understanding of how much greater God was to the storm was what led to his faith. I want to say that again because I messed up. But it was because his understanding of how much greater God was compared to the storm. Yes. So the point that I really want to drive today, and I want to leave today, if you guys could leave with anything today, is the pressure that we all feel from wanting to be childlike is removed if and when we first accept faithfully being children, his children. When we accept who we are, we can also begin to understand God more. When we accept who we are, we can begin to understand who God is. So I want to leave. That's really the bulk of the message that I really felt like was on my heart. But I do want to end by sharing a little bit my story with my dad and I. So I brought his name up. You guys all know Paul now. You see him, say hi, Paul. So him and I grew up not having the best relationship. He wasn't a really good dad, in all honesty. There's a lot of brokenness from his story as being a son and his relationship with his father. And I think he just replicated what he saw growing up from his dad. And it really made it hard for me to love and respect him as a father figure, as someone that I can say, this is who I want as my dad. And there was a time where we fought a lot. And I remember, I don't know why I'm getting emotional because I really thought I wouldn't. Because we're good now. Sorry, Teal, that was a spoiler. But there was a time where I didn't call him dad. When I was like engaging with him or having dinner or whatever, I didn't reference him as dad. I just would be like, hey, how you doing? Cool. If I needed to ask him for something, I'd be like, hey, can you help me with this? And I think there was a point where he kind of caught on. And so one day he came home pretty drunk, and he like kicked the door open in my room, and it was like late, so I was sleeping, and then I woke up because I just heard like my door open, and he was like, "What's wrong with you?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "Just this guy's crazy." And then he was like, "Why aren't you calling me dad?" And I remember I was like, "Because you don't act like one." I think I wanted him to be a certain way. I wanted him to be a dad that wasn't so angry. He wasn't, you know, abusive to my mom. He wasn't always disappointed in something that I did. But I didn't know that it would bother him that much. We really had to work on our relationship. I think after that, it wasn't all great. We got into even more bigger fights. But I just kept at it. I just felt like I just need to accept that this is my situation. This is my dad. I'm his son. And the only thing that I can do is just figure it out. And so we fought a lot, years. And then I started to just, as I kept being in that moment, just accepting who I am, who he is, for some reason it started getting better. But I think it was because I started to understand who he was too. Where are the areas where he was broken? Where are the areas where he's hurt? And it made me really understand, not justify his actions, not justify the things that were tough or were unfair, but it helped me understand. I think sharing this message, something that was really heavy on my heart, was there may be people like in our church, you guys, who relate or even just have had even worse experiences with their fathers, mothers. And I recognize that this area and this topic could be an area of like deep pain. And I think that the reason why, I think when we fully accept being children and we can understand, I do think that there is a reference that we're seeing from our earthly biological parents that we might take towards God. The hardships, the pain, the resentment, that could be something that we actually still need to process. And maybe that's why it makes it hard for us to view God as Father or to go to him as Father. But I just want to encourage you all. Even though it's hard, God wants us to know him. And it is a two-way relationship. God cannot force himself on us. He cannot force a relationship with us. And so when we are able to accept who we are, I believe that God will show more of himself, his love for us. And I hope that in that process, a lot of us who have experienced pain in this area can receive healing. So I just want to give, I just want to end it with a prayer. And then, yeah. Dear God, dear Father, you know the pain that we've experienced, the pain that we experience in this subject, whether it's feeling like we don't live up or measure up to something, to our faith, to who we think we should be. Or maybe even this identity that you call us your children. There's a lot of things that kind of are wrapped up into that, that makes it hard for us to resonate, to really live and embody as your child through family trauma, through broken relationships. You understand. But we know that you love us, God. That you've gave your only begotten Son so that we can have the gift of salvation, so that we could be with you for eternity. And that you ask us to pursue you, to get to know you, to get to know who you are. And we can only do that if we know that we are your children. God, I pray that you will give us strength. I pray that you will allow us, Lord, to embark on what could be a very painful journey. But knowing that we would, at the end of it, know who we are and know who you are. I pray that you will give us courage. I pray that you will give us strength. We know that you will be with us on this journey, that we would not be alone handling the things that come with unraveling the hurt, unraveling the things that might be on our heart. So God, I just pray that you would give us strength. Help us, Lord, to take that first step today. We thank you, Lord, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.